Blog Talk Radio.
Opportunity to be here with you this morning. We thank you for tuning in, and as always, we trust and pray that the message that we share with you will be a blessing to you. We want to acknowledge those of you who listen from time to time, as well as those who may be new listeners. We are grateful for the opportunity to share this half hour of Bible study with you. We want to encourage you to give us a call and get your comments on the air by dialing 646-378-1919. Again, I'll repeat that number. It is 646-378-1919. We also encourage you to visit our website, which is located at www.lastdays-eschatology.net. Again, that's lastdays-eschatology.net. If you go to, if you're on the website, you can look over to the right. You'll see a link for the website. Just click on that, and it'll take you directly to the website. Also, we want to encourage you to visit an additional website if you like. Again, you'll find more information on these topics. It is www.allthingsfulfilled.com. That's www.allthingsfulfilled.com. And so we encourage you to take advantage of the information that you will find at those websites. Now, we discussed a couple of days ago, I would say on Monday, the subject of why the tribe of Dan is not mentioned in Revelation chapter 7, along with the 12 tribes that are mentioned there. And we also see the 144,000 that's spoken of. So we wanted to give a little bit more clarification regarding that particular subject. It is a message or a subject of great controversy today, especially when we talk about the 144,000. There are some people who believe that only 144,000 will be saved and that they are an exclusive number that God has given for the salvation of mankind. And so we want to talk about that a little bit. Also, we want to identify a little bit more in detail of just who Israel is. Who is Israel as the Bible regards them today? We have those who believe that the people that are currently inhabiting Palestine are the Israel of God today, and that those people are in covenant relationship with God. We are not saying that some of them may not be, but we want to understand the grounds upon which the claim is being made. In other words, is that claim being made because these people have Abraham's blood in their veins, which could be very questionable in terms of understanding the history and the nature of where this current-day modern Israel came from? Was 1948 the year that signaled a reestablishing of the nation of Israel? And was that the beginning of the terminal generation? We could look at that a little bit, discuss that. We also want to know what actually constitutes one as a member of the house of Israel, and look at this concept of the tribe of Dan in Revelation chapter 7. So we'll be talking a little bit about Revelation as we have done in the past. We will also be tying this into the imminent end time or imminent coming of the Lord in the first century generation. That's what these messages are about. They share with you the coming of the Lord, the return of Christ, what is normally called his second coming, the end of the age, the judgment, the resurrection, all occurring within the first century generation. Now, I realize that to some of you, this is probably the first time you've ever heard of this, or maybe you have tuned into this broadcast and heard it here a time or two, but it's still not something that you accept at this moment, but you are at least open and inquisitive about it, and that we can appreciate. The Bible does say that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether the things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, both of honorable women and of Greeks, not a few. So there were men and women who, after researching and discriminating the scriptures and what was being taught by the apostles, even though they didn't believe at first, they came to believe as a result of their honest and diligent search of the Word of God. And so we want to encourage that. Again, I would like to give you our number to call in if you have a comment or question or criticism. That number is 646-378-1919. Again, that's 646-378-1919. Now let's turn to the book of Revelation. I want to, as always, when I approach this book, present to you the important framework of time through which we have to interpret the message of the book of Revelation, which is found in Revelation 1, verse 1 and 3. Now, you have these statements actually interspersed throughout the book of Revelation. You find them in the middle of the book. You find them at the end of the book. They all focus on imminence of time, and by imminence I mean something that was soon to occur, something that was about to happen at their time, in their day, when the message was written. In addition, it was something that was shortly to take place. It was not going to be strung out over the centuries. In other words, this is not a long, historical, outdrawing, and ongoing fulfillment of these things, but this is something that was going to take place in a very short period of time and would happen very quickly. It was going to take place shortly over that imminent period of time. So the Bible says, beginning at Revelation 1 and verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So these were things that were to shortly take place. The Bible says they must shortly take place. And furthermore, it says that he sent and signified it, which means that he gave signs and symbols by which these things were to be understood. So we can't just go to the book of Revelation and read everything as though it is literal. There are some literal things here, of course, but there are a lot of things that are described in signs and symbols. And usually, when the Bible gives you signs and symbols, it actually explains what those signs and symbols mean, if we will read further enough, or far enough, into the text or into other passages that open up and explain what these symbols mean. And we hope to do that for you today. Now, in Revelation 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand." The time is at hand. The time was near for these things to take place. That's the message of the book of Revelation. He didn't say these things were for those who were afar off. Now, let me give you an example of the Bible when it talks about events that were afar off as opposed to events that were near. God knows how to speak of events which are far off versus things which are near. When we turn to the first epistle of Peter, 1 Peter, I want to begin reading at verse 9 to give us an example of how God stated some things for the prophets that would not be in the days of the prophets. Now, when we speak of the prophets here, we are talking about Old Testament prophets, the people who lived hundreds of years before Jesus Christ ever came to the earth, before his incarnation. The scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 1, the verses 9 beginning, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you." Now here is Peter writing to the saints who the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, people who were alive in his day and time, he says that the message that the prophets gave were intended for his generation, or was intended for his generation. He says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. So what Jeremiah was talking about when he spoke about a new covenant, what Isaiah was talking about when he talked about a new heavens and a new earth, what Daniel was talking about when he talked about the everlasting kingdom being set up, what Hosea was talking about when he talked about the desire of all nations to come, what these, or Haggai, by the way, and what these prophets were talking about were things that pertained to salvation that was going to occur within the time of Peter and his readers. Now, let's go on. He says, searching what or what manner of time. So they wanted to know the manner. How are these things fulfilled? And then secondly, the time that these things were going to be fulfilled in. He says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. You see, these prophets spoke of the suffering of Christ. Daniel spoke of it in Daniel chapter 9. And Isaiah talked about the sufferings of Christ in Isaiah chapter 53. So they wanted to know, when were these things going to be fulfilled? And Peter said they were prophesying of things that would come to you. That's why Jesus died in the first century generation, because the prophets prophesied of things that were coming to those in the days and in the lifetime of Peter and his readers. But not only did they prophesy of the sufferings of Christ that was to come to their generation, or to the first century generation, they also prophesied of the glories that would follow. And the glories pertain to the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom being set up. It pertains to the judgment, the resurrection, the coming of Christ, all of the things wherein Christ comes in his glory. Those things were prophesied for the first century generation as well. Peter said they searched out those things that were prophesied being the grace that would come to you. Now, he says they testified of these things beforehand. What? The sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Next, he says, to them. Now, that's to the prophets who spoke of these things. This means that to the prophets who spoke of the suffering of Christ and of the glories that were to follow, they were not speaking of events which would take place in their day and time. That's why Daniel was told to go and rest until the end of the days. He said, seal up the book, Daniel, because these events are not in your day and time. But watch what Peter says. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. Now, the us in the text has to include Peter and his contemporaries, the people who lived in the first century, and Peter wrote around the mid to late 60s in the first century AD. And so he says, to them it was revealed, to the men who were prophesying, to Abraham, to Moses, to Samuel, to Joshua, to Jeremiah, to Isaiah, to Ezekiel, to all of those men who talked about the future of the coming of Christ and of the glories that were to follow, those events were not to themselves. They were not in their days, but Peter says they prophesied them unto us. They spoke about our generation, not a 21st century generation, but a first century generation. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now, look at that temporal word now, that means present. That means at that very moment and time, that now, or which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So that's the meaning of the time frame of the events that the prophets foretold. The Bible says that the suffering and the glories would take place in the lifetime of Peter and his readers. Now, how do we know that that's the case? That's why Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 5. He said, they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. He was ready to judge the living and the dead. And then in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Literally, has drawn near. The end of all things has drawn near. And then he says in verse 17, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Now, if the time had already come in the first century, why are we delaying it for some time in the future in the 21st century? That's why when we read the book of Revelation and the Bible says these things were shortly to come to pass and the time is near, it's because the prophets did not speak of those events for those times in the years before the time of Christ, but they spoke for those events, the suffering and the glories that would come in Christ's day and within the generation living when Christ was on earth. Now, having given that, you can also go to Revelation 12, and he will tell you the time was short. You can look at Revelation 22, 6, 10, and 12, and he will tell you, do not seal the book. The time is at hand for these things to shortly be done. Behold, I am coming quickly. You see, it was all to happen very quickly within the first century generation. Now, let's talk about the 144,000 or the 12 tribes in Revelation chapter 7. The Bible says that after these things, verse 1, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Then he enumerates the tribes, Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. The tribe of Dan is not mentioned. Why not? Some people have said it's because the tribe of Dan was guilty of idolatry. In other words, that the tribe of Dan was noted for their idolatry, and since this was a message to those who were the sealed servants of God, and because God is a jealous God who says, have no other gods before me, he did not want any pollution of idolatry mentioned in connection with this. Some use Judges chapter 30, verses 30 and 31, or excuse me, Judges chapter 18, verses 30 and 31, to say that this is why God did not mention the tribe of Dan. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time the house of God was in Shiloh. Now notice, the people who use Dan as a reason that they are not mentioned in Revelation 7 overlook the fact that here is the tribe of Manasseh, who are the priests of Dan, while Dan is engaged in this idol worship, while Dan is setting up these calves and these idol gods of stone and wood, of course, and worshiping them. But yet the tribe of Manasseh is mentioned in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 7. So if God excluded Dan, why did he include Manasseh? The Bible says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, whoever works righteousness and fears him is accepted of him. So if Manasseh was the priest, meaning that they were initiating and officiating in the idol worship, why were they included in Revelation 7 and Dan was omitted? It couldn't be solely because of idolatry. Furthermore, it was not only the tribe of Dan that was guilty of idolatry. As a matter of fact, the Bible says all of the tribes of Israel were involved in idolatry. That's why God carried the northern tribes into Assyrian captivity in 722 BC, and it's also why he carried the southern kingdom of Judah into Babylonian captivity for 70 years in 586 BC. When we turn to 2 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 16, the Bible says, speaking of Israel, these are the 10 northern tribes under Jeroboam. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and two calves, made a wooden image and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. They practiced witchcraft and soothsaying, sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. You see, God was so angry with Israel that he removed them from his sight. That means that he cut them off. That means they were no longer his people. Read the first chapter of the book of Hosea. You are no longer my people, and I will not be your God. They were so steeped into idolatry that God cast them off, said they were no longer his people. So there was no more 12 tribes of Israel after this event. He says, when he removed them from his sight, 2 Kings 17 and verse 18, there was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. But notice this, in verse 19, he says, Judah also didn't follow him. Also, Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. So Judah followed in the same idolatry that Israel did. For example of that, let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 3. When we look at Jeremiah chapter 3, God expressly talks about the treacherous idolatry called spiritual adultery of Israel, but he says Judah followed in the same tracks. They walked in the same paths. Beginning at verse 6, the Lord said also to me, in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel, now Israel is the 10 northern tribes, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Then I saw, for all that the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. God said, I divorced myself from Israel. The 10 tribes have been given a bill of divorcement. God is no longer married to them. They are no longer in a covenant relationship with God. He cut them off, removed them out of his sight. I don't know many people that divorce their spouses and keep their spouses at home with them. Then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. So it came to pass through her casual harlotry that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. So God said, they all were committing idolatry. So why are any of the tribes mentioned in Revelation chapter 7 if idolatry was the reason that Dan was not mentioned? You see, it doesn't make sense. God would have to exclude all of the tribes, including the tribe of Judah, from which David, who was a man after Jesus' own, after God's own heart, and even the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd have to get rid of that tribe if these are the physical 12 tribes of Israel. But see, I want to suggest to you that the Bible in Revelation speaks of things in a symbolical manner. Are these the natural tribes of Israel? Or are these spiritual tribes wherein it doesn't make sense? And one other point, by the way, Joseph is mentioned, and Ephraim was not mentioned in this connection either, but Manasseh was a son of Joseph, and so was Ephraim, and sometimes Ephraim is called Joseph. And yet Ephraim was guilty of idolatry. The book of Hosea talks about it. Ephraim is the northern kingdom. So they couldn't be excluded simply because of idolatry. But the point being is that these 144,000, the 12 tribes mentioned in the book of Revelation, is a symbolical number for the remnant of Israel, and the remnant of Israel are not natural Jews. They are not Jews because they have the blood of Abraham in their veins, but they are Jews from a spiritual point of view, which means that they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they are now spiritual Jews. Now let's look at a few passages in the Scripture. The Bible says in Romans 2, 28 and 29, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." So a Jew today, and from the time of the preaching of the gospel, a true Jew is one who obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you could have been a natural Jew because the gospel was to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, or you could have been a Gentile. And once you obeyed the gospel, you became a Jew in a spiritual sense, and thus God could symbolically speak of the 12 tribes from a spiritual point of view. In Romans chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called." That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now, what does the Bible say about the children of the promise? You see, these are the ones who obey the gospel and accept Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 27, the Bible says, "For as many of you," now this is talking about those that he says, "you are all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You see, those who obey Christ are the children of the promise. Therefore, they are the true Israel. Now, this 144,000, these are called virgins in Revelation chapter 14 because they are spiritually pure, having obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what makes them the spiritual Israel. And that's why in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, and also in chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, "I know those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." If they reject Jesus, which the nation of Israel did in the first century as a whole, if they reject Christ, the Bible says they are of the synagogue of Satan. That's why Jesus told them, "You are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of it." And because they were willing to put Jesus to death and to crucify and murder and persecute his saints, they made themselves the children of Satan rather than the children of God. Only those Jews and Gentiles who accepted Christ became a part of the natural Israel, I mean of spiritual Israel, and hence are called the Israel of God in Galatians 6 and verse 16. That's all the time that we have for today. I'm William Bell, thanking you for taking the time to listen, and we look forward to being back with you on tomorrow.